something that God forces us to go through by His sheer power, His sheer will. Our triune God graciously guides us and leads us through a life of suffering by love. God, who can work all things for the good of those who love Him, certainly can use suffering to glorify Him and to purify and to refine us, even as an instrument to bring us in unity with one another and in the gospel. Notice the compare to our glorious, unending eternal life in the kingdom of God, will be raised to glory. This life certainly is filled with all sorts of suffering. We face sins without and within. But God promised that we will inherit His kingdom when Christ returns to bring us home. And it is our true home. Before that, it's quite as bleak now. By no means. The New Testament tells us that we are like the Old Testament pilgrims. We are traveling through wilderness. Notice that we are traveling, not individually, one by one. We are traveling as one people of God, united in Christ. The church presses onward and forward as one people of God, brought together by Him and for the sake of God. Consider how we parallel with the Old Testament saints. God redeemed the Israelites by delivering them out of Egyptian slavery. We were redeemed from a greater exodus, that is, sin and death, by Christ, who is the greater Moses. They, Israelites, traveled and lived in the wilderness for 40 years, pressing towards the promised land, suffering along the way, being tested, and some even failed to reach them. We live in this barren life, full of tests, temptation, trials, emptiness, and suffering. But we are pressing toward a greater and a better land, the new heaven and the new earth. And we have a better high priest than Aaron, Jesus Christ our Lord, who ministers to us through His Spirit. A psalm we sang earlier, Psalm 133b, tells us in a picture form the oil that flows from the head of Aaron to the rest of his robe, giving us a picture of how the Holy Spirit anoints Christ, and that Christ's Spirit is given to His church, His body. What a wonderful, wonderful picture we see how Christ ministers to us in a time of need. So let us remind ourselves that we are a people united to Christ. And as a result, we suffer with Him in order to be glorified with Him. We are to take up our cross daily before Christ. And then, in glory, we will receive our crown. We stand for truth and right, but the world hates truth and loves darkness. We are enemies of the world because we are friends of God. Simply stated, Christ is the pattern of our life. We suffer temporary humiliation in this worldly kingdom, but we will enjoy unending exaltation in the heavenly kingdom. So that we face humiliation and insult with patience, knowing that God will vindicate us. Whether hurt or degrade us, we will not fight back with the same tactic, because vengeance is God's, and He will repay. We can endure hardships and disappointment with grace and patience. We can freely forgive others who wrong us, because God has forgiven us. We don't curse our opponents, but we pray for them in the hope that they may also be saved. We can go on and on about implications of knowing Christ, but notice, we are united to Him in our spirit, in our mind, all for His sake. So that the world knows that we belong to Christ. We do not belong to this world. We belong to Christ and to Him alone. Our suffering not only shows that we are Christ's people, but it also witnesses Christ in this fallen world that we live according to His gospel. So people of God, may you rejoice in knowing that God has made you His own through Jesus. And may you realize that many faithful brothers and sisters in Christ united their spirit and soul to yours to help you travel through this earthly journey. May you find strength and comfort knowing that Christ is also the great shepherd who leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the same one who will usher you and us to glory, into eternal blessedness with our triune God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us.